The Hygienic Festival of July 27, 1871. With the upturn of the affairs of the Institute in the spring, it became necessary to make an addition to the main building and improve and refit the cottages. To James White and some others, this had seemed to be a new beginning, appropriately calling for the rededication of the institution and its staff, climaxed by a meal together. What better opportunity could there be to acquaint the leading families in Battle Creek with the enterprise and for what it stood? The committee chosen to foster the event, chaired by James White, sent out printed invitations to the principal families in the city and community to participate in a hygienic festival on the grounds of the institution. The response was excellent. The Health Reformer reported. The preparations for the occasion, made by the joint action of those directly connected with the Health Institute, and a large number of practical health reformers in the city and vicinity, were ample and in many respects truly beautiful and grand. The Health Reformer, August, 1871. The dinner was an outstanding success. One of the guests, the Honorable George Willard, editor of the Battle Creek Journal, reported the proceedings. On Thursday, July 27, on the spacious and beautiful grounds of the Health Institute in this city, there was held a health reform convention or hygienic festival, which was attended by about 800 persons, chiefly assembled from Battle Creek and the towns in the vicinity. The day was one of the finest of the season, and as the people began arriving about 11 o'clock in the forenoon, they found the amplest preparations made for their reception. On the south side of the grounds were five tables, each 128 feet in length, the total length being 640 feet, all set in the neatest style and appropriately decorated with vases of flowers, while on the north side a large platform had been fitted up for a speaker stand, with seats arranged in front of it for the accommodation of the guests during the speaking. Before the guests sat down at the tables, there were some speeches, of which editor Willard reported. There were addresses on health and dress reform by the Reverend James White, and also by Mrs. White. They were both listened to with close attention, as they with remarkable force and clearness set forth the new principles of hygiene, and presented the reasons for their adoption. Willard noted that she proceeded to discuss the topics which would naturally possess a special interest on the part of the ladies of her audience. He added, "The duties of the family and home circle were enforced with a practical eloquence, which must have convinced her hearers that many if not all of her admonitions and suggestions were worthy of serious attention, and that the world would be much better if they were carried out in actual practice in all the homes of the land." When she had concluded her address, dinner was announced, and the crowd surged toward the five tables. 675 persons were served with a tempting meal. There were vegetables, of course, tastily prepared. New ripe potatoes, green beans, green corn, beets, squash, green peas, baked beans. There were breads and cakes. Gems, raised bread, hard biscuit, buns, fruit cake, graham, sponge cake, graham, apple pie, graham, oatmeal pudding, manioc pudding with fruit, rice pudding with fruit. As to fruit, there were peaches, dried prunes, figs, and dates, apples, whortleberries, huckleberries, and blackberries. The editor stated, "It is to be noticed that butter, grease of all kinds, tea, coffee, spice, pepper, ginger, and nutmeg were wholly discarded in the cookery and were not in use on the tables. Salt was provided for those who desired it." Going considerably into detail, the editor stated, "After the invocation of the divine blessing, the dinner was served in a most capital manner, and was relished and universally commended by the vast company of guests, most of whom for the first time sat at a public dinner got up on the hygienic plan. Ibid." Then there was a visit to the facilities of the Institute, and the crowd gathered again to listen further to James and Ellen White. Willard concluded his report, stating, The Institute, it is needless to add, has gained greatly by this convention, in having its aims and objects, as well as its actual condition and prospects, brought more fully before the public at large. This is precisely what the directors of the Institute and the Adventist community had hoped for.